Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning about the words of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The message is called "The Only Way to Heaven," so let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 14 as we go back to basics.
Now, I think in the most recent surveys, you know, people go out and do these polls and so forth regarding beliefs and different things like that. In the most recent surveys, I think it's somewhere around 90% of the population believes that there is a real place called heaven. So still, even though there's a lot of skepticism and we hear a lot of talk about atheism in the culture and so forth, still the vast majority of people believe that when you die, there is that possibility that, heaven is there. Not so many people are as positive about the other place, but everybody's pretty sure that there is a heaven. Now, and of course, there is a heaven. The Bible is clear about that. But not only does the Bible tell us that there is a heaven, the Bible tells us how to get to heaven. And I would think that if a person believed that there was indeed a place called heaven, that they would want to also know how to get there. This is not something you want to be guessing about. This is not something that you want to just put off and hope for the best when it all finally comes down. Because, of course, we never know when our appointed time will come. We never know how long we have to live on this earth. We have assumptions. Most of us assume we're going to be around for a longer period. But we don't really know, do we? I heard the tragic news this past week of a young man, an entrepreneurial guy here in Costa Mesa who owned a nice little restaurant that my family and I would go to occasionally, that he was on his way to a car show and he was in an accident and he was killed in his early 30s. And I was shocked when I heard that, and I was saddened when I heard that. But the point is simply this: we don't know. We don't know when it's going to be our time to go, but when it's time to go, a wise person is going to make sure that they've been prepared, that they've made arrangements ahead of time. As I mentioned, our friend Laszlo passing away here last week, one of the things that Laszlo would say, he knew, of course, the inevitable outcome of his cancer. He knew that he was going to depart and be with the Lord, and he would tell people that my bags are packed and luggage has been loaded and I'm just waiting to board the flight. And but he knew it was coming, and of course he had this kind of confidence. So there is a heaven, and as we read here in our text, there is a way to know for sure how to get there. There is a way to know for sure that we're going to get there, and that way, of course, is through this person that we're reading about here, this person, Jesus. So Jesus says that he is the way, essentially, to get to heaven. When he says, no one comes to the Father except through me, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about getting to heaven. Now, this isn't the only place Jesus said this. Jesus said this many times over. He made this exclusive claim that he and he alone was the one that would get people into heaven. He said, on another occasion, he said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then on another occasion, he said, you have, speaking to his Father, you have given me authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as you have given me. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So this claim to be the way to God, this claim to be the one that was going to give people access into heaven, is a claim that Jesus made several times over. The apostles after him would then make the same claim. Peter, when he preached that great and well-known sermon there in Jerusalem, he said, nor is there salvation in any other than Jesus Christ, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So according to the Bible, there is a heaven and there is a way to get to heaven, and there's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through the person of Christ. And we call this the exclusivity of Christ. He is the only way to get there. Now, this whole idea of the exclusivity of Christ, this is one of the hottest issues on the planet today. And every time a Christian leader is interviewed in the media, inevitably, this issue comes up. People will ask this question. I think every time I saw Larry King interview a Christian leader, he would always, at some point or another, he would always bring this up. He would always, ask the question, well, you know, is there any other way to get to heaven besides Jesus? Or, you know, he would bring up the other religions. Well, what about this religion? Or, you know, what about this group of people? And always getting back around to this particular issue here. But you see, Jesus, he put himself right in the center of his message. This is one of the unique things about Christ. He puts himself at the center of his message. This isn't the case with other religions. You know, people say, well, all religions basically teach the same thing. All roads lead to God. But you know, if you just take a few moments to start to investigate, you find that, well, that isn't really true at all. Someone has said that Buddhism is the religion of a method, Islam is the religion of a book, Christianity is the religion of a person. And that is absolutely the case. Jesus put himself at the center of his message. Notice, he didn't say, I teach the way, I declare what is true, even though he could have said that because he did both. He didn't say, I reveal or announce the life to come. No, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So this is the claim that he makes. I guess the question then it remains, is the claim valid? Is it true? Well, it's interesting to me that nobody else has ever made a claim like this. If you think of the founder of Buddhism, or if you think perhaps of Muhammad, for example, or if you look into Hinduism and the various people that spoke on behalf of the Hindu religion, there's no one in any other religious grouping at any other time in history or presently that made this kind of claim. They did not put themselves at the center of the message. There was a message. They happened to be the spokesperson. Jesus is entirely different. He is the center of the message. So looking at what he says, let's just take a look at each one of these things that he claims here, beginning first of all with the way. Now, when Jesus says he's the way, he is telling us that he is the road or the pathway or however else you want to describe it. He's how a person is going to get to God. And this would be man's supreme need, to be taught the way to God. That is the supreme need of man. We all need to know, since we're all going to die, since heaven is a reality, we all need to know, how do I get there? How do I get there? And the way isn't all that clear, is it? It's clarified for us here in the scriptures, but if you're without the scriptural map, so to speak, you kind of find yourself wandering out there in a wilderness. You know, just going through life, you can come to the realization. You look around at the created world that we live in. We look at the, you know, just the beautiful scenes around us in nature. Maybe you go down to the beach and you look out at that vast ocean. You see Catalina Island out there. You go somewhere where there's not light pollution and you can, you know, you can look up into the sky at night and you can see the heavens and all their vastness. Or you go off to Yosemite or somewhere and you're out there in nature. And, you know, you're out there and you just start to feel like, you know, there's got to be a creator. So I can see him in creation. And then also there's times in our lives when we have a sensitivity where we can even hear him in our consciences. You know, we sense that there are certain things that are right, that there are certain things that are wrong. We feel guilty over things that we've done. So we see him in creation. We sense him in our conscience. But here's the big question. How do I get to him? How do I get to this God? What is the means of access? How do I find that road? Have you ever been at a place, maybe you're out hiking or something like that, and you kind of come up against sort of a dead end, and you see a place, maybe across even a valley or something, that you want to get to, but there just doesn't seem to be any way to get there? I remember hiking in Austria a few years back, and we came to this particular point, and you look out across this beautiful valley, and there's this gorgeous waterfall. And you're just there looking, thinking, man, that's where I want to be. I want to get to that waterfall. I want to stand under that thing and be refreshed. And yet there I was, and there was no way to get to it. I couldn't get there. There needs to be a way. And so with God, we see him in the vastness of his creation. We feel him in our minds and our consciences. But yet, how do we get to him? Jesus said, I am the way. He is the way to get to God. Now, again, this is an exclusive claim that he's making. Jesus didn't give options. He didn't point people in a variety of different directions saying, hey, you know, whatever works for you, whatever feels good to you, whatever you're comfortable with, whatever you've grown up with. He didn't do anything like that. Pointed clearly back to himself. Now, this is where people have difficulty. This is where people get into trouble and they start thinking to themselves, now, okay, how could there just be one way? That just seems so narrow. And today, this is the big controversy. This is why this is such a hot topic in our world today. We hear people saying things like this all the time. You mean to tell me that there's no other way to God? You mean to tell me, they say, that all of these other people worshiping through these different methods and so forth, you mean to tell me that they're not reaching God? And you see, the problem is this. We're starting from the wrong point. We start from where we're at today. We look around. We see a lot of different religions. We see people, you know, following their religious systems. And then we, you know, we don't know much about Jesus, but we just hear about him maybe through the radio, or maybe you turn on the television and you hear somebody preaching about him, and you hear this claim. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And people tend to take that and sort of interpret it from right where they're standing. That's the wrong point of view. You've got to take that claim and you've got to go back in history. And when you go back in history, it becomes perfectly logical that there would just be one way back to God. See, because if you follow history back far enough, you come to the first people that were created. They were created in a relationship with God. They were created for that relationship with God. They lived in a relationship with God, but they rebelled against him, and the relationship was broken. But God loved them and their potential descendants, who would be us. He loved us all so much, he determined to make a way back to himself, and he promised them that he would send a deliverer. So you see, there was originally two people. They were connected with God. They were created in that place. The connection was broken. God says, I'm going to reconnect you, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to send a Savior into the world to do it. And he made that promise to them. He made that promise to their descendants, passing from Adam and Eve to Noah, passing from Noah to Shem, his son, passing later on to Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob, passing to David, and then ultimately the fulfillment of it comes in Jesus. So if you start with that point of reference, the historical point of reference, it makes more sense. I was watching an interview some years ago. Larry King was interviewing a couple of good, solid evangelical people about this very issue. And he asked them this question, is there any other way to heaven than Jesus? And they quoted this verse. No, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And they gave the right answer. But in my opinion, they didn't give a thorough enough answer. They should have, in my opinion, gone back and explained. Now, anybody could make that claim, I guess, right? Anybody could just randomly say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody else has, but anybody could. But we have to consider the person who's making the claim, and we have to trace the history back. This person is the fulfillment of that original promise that was given. And the promise was to send a Savior. The promise was to make a way back to God. So we have the history. And then we also have the issue of atonement. You see, this is another thing that people don't understand today. There's an assumption in the general public when people do believe in God. The assumption is, well, you know, as long as you're a good person, that's all that matters. And if I just do my best to be the best person I can, then in the end, everything's going to work out and I will make it ultimately to heaven. I might be way, way in the back or something eventually, but at least I'll get in. But there's a huge missing element there, and that's the element of atonement. And again, God taught this necessity from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, they covered themselves with leaves. They were naked, you remember. They suddenly came to the realization of their nakedness. They were conscious that something wasn't right, and they sought to cover themselves. That covering was insufficient. And so God took and he slew an animal, a lamb, and he covered them in skins. And that covering was symbolic. God was teaching something that man could not cover his own nakedness. God would have to cover his nakedness, and that covering would have to come through the shedding of blood. And so a sacrificial system was instituted later on in history through Moses and Aaron and the priesthood. And this went on all the way until Christ came and was crucified. And the crucifixion of Jesus and the shedding of his blood was the fulfillment of what God declared there had to be an atonement for sin. So all of these things are playing into this statement that Jesus makes, that he and he alone is the way to God. History teaches us that, and the necessity of atonement points to that as well. But Jesus then said, secondly, he said, I am the truth. Jesus is the ultimate reality. He is the ultimate reality. Now, again, listen to what the New Testament says concerning Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the supreme one over all creation. We use that term, the supreme being. Guess who we're talking about? We're talking about Christ, according to the New Testament. And then it says this, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Does that sound like the ultimate reality? It certainly does to me. Jesus is the ultimate reality. He's the one behind the whole thing, everything that there is. All of the created order was created by him. Jesus is the truth behind science. We have the scientists today. They're experimenting and they're seeking to discover and they're investigating the creation and they're trying to unlock the mysteries and through that, you know, benefit humanity and so forth. And the irony in all of this is so often those who are doing that are doing it from an atheistic perspective, at least that's their own personal position. And here they are, they're, you know, sort of like crawling around here, you know, on the ground, you know, looking to put the little bits and pieces together. They're all groveling around the feet of Jesus, the one who created it. It's amazing. He's the ultimate reality when it comes to science. Jesus is the truth behind philosophy. What is philosophy except man's attempt to find out what in the world life is all about? That's what philosophy is. It's an attempt to find out why we're here, what we're doing. Is there any meaning to life? Does life have a purpose? That's what philosophy is. Well, look what we're told right here. We are told that all things were created for him. He is the great reality behind these things. He's the one who made everything. Everything was made for him. He is the truth. He is ultimate reality. He is the truth about God. As we read here, he is the image of the invisible God. He's the truth about God. Now, God has been greatly misunderstood. God gave a revelation to the Jewish people, and they did not entirely understand him, even from the revelation that he gave through the prophets and the scriptures and so forth. So there came a point in time when God the Son came into the world to show us exactly what God is like. And John, who wrote this gospel in the earliest chapters of the gospel, he makes that clear. He begins the gospel with these words: in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's speaking of Christ, and he says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then he goes on to say, no man has seen the Father at any time, but the one and only Son who is in the heart of the Father, he's declared him. He's brought him out into the open. Jesus is the truth about God. He is also the truth about man. Because Jesus comes and he shows us what man was intended to be by God.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Only Way to Heaven, and the resource number is OBB541. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.